I trust that you all had a wonderful Thanksgiving and at least a change of pace, hopefully. Sometimes the holidays, the change of pace is increased pace as opposed to slowed down pace. But hopefully you're able to take some time and just slow down a little bit and spend some time in gratitude, as we talked about last week, thanking God for the many, many blessings that he has given to each one of us. This morning, we shift gears, and we are anticipating, we are looking towards Christmas. And our sermons will go along with the Advents that are read each Sunday morning from now till Christmas. So this morning's Advent focused on the idea of hope. Christ, the Christ child bringing hope to the world. Came across a story a few months back that it's a remarkable story. Some of you might already know this story. Some of you might question this story, and that's okay to question it. I questioned it, and I tried to research best I could and confirm that, yeah, this, best as I can tell, is factual. So to me, it's an amazing story. Story is this. In December of 1914, during the First World War, something remarkable happened. It's now remembered as the Christmas Truce. Recorded in soldiers' journals and documented by newspapers such as the London Times, on Christmas Eve, get this, exhausted soldiers from opposing sides that were huddled in their frozen trenches, right? Like they were weighed down with fear and loss. This war was in full steam. And across the battlefield, they began to hear voices singing Silent Night, Holy Night. German voices first, and then English voices joined in. And slowly and carefully, the story says, that soldiers began to emerge from the trenches. They shook hands. They exchanged small gifts, cigars, chocolate, photographs from home. They even shared in a brief soccer match. For a single night in the middle of what is known as a brutal war, hope broke through. Light pierced the darkness. And that is Christmas, right? Not the denial of darkness, but the arrival of a light that is stronger than the darkness. Not the end of hardship, but the beginning of hope. Now, when the truce took place, the military high commands on both sides were strongly against this, right? Like, they were fearing that it would undermine the morale of the troops and the fighting spirit within them, and they took steps to prevent this kind of thing from ever happening again. But unlike that temporary truce, the hope Christ brings, it is not fragile and fleeting. The hope that Christ brings is eternal. It's steady. It is anchored in a God who keeps his promises. So today, we celebrate hope that's given to us through this celebration of Christmas. We celebrate a hope that holds us, that guides us, that strengthens us, and lights the way forward for us. Let's have a word of prayer, and then we're going to dive into this idea that Christ is hope. Lord God, today we just pause, and we ask you to speak into our lives in these next moments. Allow us to just calm our minds. Allow us to sit aside the busyness of this last week, all the preparations for Thanksgiving, maybe some of the frustrations of the last week as we gathered with family and friends, and those can be challenging times. Allow us to set aside the busyness of the season that we're walking into, the return to a normal work week, all those things. and allow us to just focus on your word and what it is that you might be speaking to us this morning. May we have ears to hear, eyes to see, and hearts to receive the message that you would give to us. We pray this in God's holy name. Amen. I'm going to have you turn with me to Isaiah chapter 9. This was read earlier by Dawn in regard as she did the Advent reading, but Isaiah chapter 9 is going to be page 489. I want you to be in your Bibles, to be reading it for yourselves. So Isaiah chapter 9. We're going to read verse 2, and then we're going to jump down to verse 6 and 7. As we talk about the very first thing, the first point this morning, is that Christ brings hope through God's promises. So Christ brings hope through God's promises. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2 and 6 and 7 are kind of our key verses as we talk about this reality, that Christ brings hope through our promises. So starting at verse 2, it says, "The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned." And then you jump down to verse 6 and it says, "For to us a child is born, to us a Savior is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." Now, it's important for us to understand that when Isaiah first spoke these words, right, God's people were surrounded by turmoil. There was political tensions going on. There was military threat going on. There was moral confusion within the society. There was spiritual drift. Nothing around them looked very hopeful. Yet God spoke a promise into their night. Listen, this is important for, I think, all of us to hear this. Hope doesn't begin when circumstances improve. It doesn't. It begins when God speaks. Hope doesn't begin when circumstances improve. It begins when God speaks. Biblical hope is not optimism. It's not wishing. It isn't crossing your fingers and hoping things magically get better. Biblical hope is confidence that's rooted in God's character. Biblical hope does not deny reality at all. It declares that God is greater than any realities that we are walking through or facing. Isaiah's prophecy reminds us that God often begins his greatest work in quiet and unexpected ways. Right? The world wanted a warrior, and God sent a baby. The world wanted a throne, and God sent a manger. The message is really clear. Sometimes God's hope comes wrapped in ways that require trust before we can ever recognize it. I love with the chapter, or pardon me, in chapter 9, verse 7. I love that these list of names are given, right? Each name that we see here, Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, each name listed in our passage, I believe answers a deep human need that we have. When you don't know what to do next, you need a Wonderful Counselor. When you lack strength for something, you need a Mighty God. When you feel alone, you need an Everlasting Father. When you have anxiety that is a part of your life and is ruling your heart, you need a Prince of Peace in those moments. When God makes a promise, he places his name on it. And when his name is on it, his integrity stands behind it. And the integrity of our God, it never shifts. It never weakens. And it never wavers. I want you to just take a moment and try to picture this in your mind as I describe it to you. So picture a group of sailors. Group of sailors, and they are out in the dark seas. And their boat, for whatever reason, has become a wreckage. So whether it's the waves that tossed it and ended up destroying it, and it's just barely afloat still. And these sailors are now clinging to anything that's above water, holding on, just hoping that this thing's going to stay afloat a little bit longer. The night's black. They can't see if the waves are still coming in at full steam or not, and they can't see anything out there. If you've ever been out in the ocean at nighttime where there's not the light pollution that we experience in our normal days here, it is dark out there, right? So they can't see anything. They feel helpless in that moment. Like this will be the end of life. Until suddenly, a lighthouse beam sweeps across the water. The lighthouse beam doesn't calm the storm that they're in. The lighthouse beam doesn't lift them out of the waves. The lighthouse beam doesn't change their immediate danger in any way, shape, or form. But the moment those sailors see that light, something changes inside of them, right? And the reason something changes is because hope arrives before the rescue arrives. The light is not the rescue. It is the promise of rescue. And that promise strengthens them to hold on until morning comes, right? God's promises work in the same way. They don't always end the storm that we're in instantly. But they shine a beam of certainty into the darkness that we might be facing in life. The promise becomes the hope that carries us while the waves still rage. If Christ brings hope through God's promises, then we got to ask, what does this hope actually look like in our daily lives? Number two, Christ brings hope by shining light into our darkness. I want you to turn with me to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. It's going to be, I didn't get a page. Sorry about that. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, if you're in the New Testament. When somebody gets there to John chapter 1, if you could just tell the rest that page, that would be great. 750. So John chapter 1, we're going to read the first five verses there. It says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." And that's where we'll pause. John does not simply tell us that Jesus represents light. He tells us that Jesus is the light. And his light is unafraid of darkness. It does not retreat. It doesn't fade. It has no rivals. It simply shines in the darkness. In our passage, John uses present tense intentionally, right? The light shines, not shined long ago, but shines now, shines continuously, actively in our lives today. And this means that even when you and I don't feel God, even when our emotions maybe lie to us, or even when our circumstances look really, really challenging, bleak, or brutal, the light of Christ is still shining. Darkness tries to define us by our failures. Darkness tries to define us by our fears and our wounds and our regrets. Darkness magnifies shame and minimizes God. But the hope of Christmas that we're talking about this morning is that darkness cannot win. That's all there is to it. Not because it isn't real, but because Jesus is greater. The truth about darkness is this: it isn't a force, it's simply the absence of light. The moment Christ shines into a heart, the moment that Christ shines into a marriage, the moment that Christ shines into a wound, the moment that Christ shines into a life that's living far from Him or into a fear, darkness loses its grip. Another thing about light is that it also helps us see more clearly. Right? It reveals who God is. It reveals who we are. It reveals what truly matters, what needs healing. It reveals where freedom is found. Light does not just come to shame us. Light comes to restore us. Jesus doesn't expose darkness to condemn us. He exposes darkness to heal us. One single lit candle in a pitch black room does what? What's it do? Do I need to turn the lights off? We have one single lit candle. It lights. It always wins against the darkness. The light will always win. The darkness cannot overcome it. It can only flee from it. Today, at the beginning of 2025 Christmas season, are you willing to open the door to maybe one room in your heart that's kind of been kept closed off to God? Maybe it's a fear, maybe it's a disappointment, maybe it's a secret, maybe it's a sin. Are you willing to say, Jesus, shine your light here? The truth is that even with His light shining, life includes seasons of delay, seasons of disappointment. So how does hope sustain us while we're kind of wading through, working through those times in our life? And that's what I want us to focus on as we end this morning, is that Christ brings hope that strengthens us even while we are waiting, right? The whole Advent season is this time of waiting and anticipation. So how does Christ bring hope that strengthens us when we are in a season of waiting? In Romans chapter 15, verse 4, and go ahead and turn there too. It's page 805. Romans chapter 15, verse 4. It says, for everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through the endurance taught in the scriptures and the encouragement they provide, we might have hope. Now, Paul, I think, really intentionally ties three words together in this one scripture. Just focus on these three words: endurance, encouragement, and hope. And they're all tied together, right? Endurance teaches us to remain under the weight without collapsing. So when something is weighing down on us, when we're in that period of waiting on something, maybe we're disappointed, maybe we're really fearful of what the future holds. Endurance teaches us to remain under the weight without collapsing. And then encouragement, that the verse talks about, strengthens our heart while we remain under that weight. And then ultimately hope, right? We might have hope, is how the verse ends. We might have hope. Hope grows because we begin to see God's pattern. And that pattern is he always finishes what he starts. As I said earlier, hope isn't wishful thinking. Hope is the settled confidence that God will do what he says. Waiting on God is probably one of the hardest parts of the Christian journey. To just wait on God. When we need something now. We need it today. We need it yesterday. Waiting is so hard. Yet Scripture insists that waiting, it is not wasted. It can be the place where hope grows deepest, is in the waiting. Hope oftentimes is not grown in comfort. It's grown in surrender. True hope doesn't develop when everything is going well and going great and everything's going my way and I just feel like I'm on top of the world. True hope develops when everything is uncertain. And yet God proves faithful again and again and again. Oftentimes when people are walking through a situation and it just feels hopeless, and I'm talking to them about this, I'll encourage them to do one thing usually. To think back over their lives and to remember times that Jesus has been faithful to them throughout the course of their lives. Because when we do that, what we're actually doing is we're reminding ourselves of God's faithfulness. That, oh yeah, God has been faithful to me. And there were things that I've gone through that as I was going through them, I didn't think that God was doing what he was supposed to be doing. But now that I can look back and see, I see that God was all over that situation. True hope develops when everything is uncertain, and yet God proves faithful again and again. Now we need to understand this. Biblical waiting, like, when we're in times of waiting, it's not a passive time to just sit back and be like, eh. It's not about doing nothing. Waiting is an act of trust. Like, while we are waiting, we need to keep praying, we need to keep worshiping, we need to keep obeying, we need to keep choosing, making a choice to have faith, even when we might feel fear. We need to keep applying the last instruction that we feel like God has given to us. We need to keep believing that God is at work even when we can't see it in the moment. Waiting reveals motives. It stretches our faith. It forms our character. And often, so often, God uses waiting to prepare us for things that are yet to come. That's what we see throughout Scripture, right? Every major breakthrough required waiting. Like Abraham waited for Isaac. Joseph waited in prison. Moses waited in the wilderness. David waited for his throne. And remember this one? The world waited centuries for Jesus. Not one minute was wasted. Seasons of waiting teach us to distinguish between trusting what God does and trusting who God is. When we cannot see his hand at work, we learn to lean on his unchanging heart. Delayed answers should never diminish his steady character. Don't let that happen in your life. I am certain that there are some here today, I know there are, that are in a time of waiting. You have big decisions that are going on in your lives. And you're waiting for God to give some guidance. I encourage you, in whatever time of waiting you might be in today or the days or weeks or months or years ahead, ask God this question. What are you forming in me while I wait? Because here's the truth. If God isn't changing the situation yet, then I'm guessing he's probably changing you. Christ gives hope through his promises. His light and his strengthening presence in the waiting are what he offers to us. The question becomes, what will we do with this hope that Christ gives us? Hope is not something that you and I can manufacture on our own. It's something that God gives to us. Christmas declares this truth. The light has come. The promise has arrived. The King is here. Darkness, it cannot win. And God is still writing goodness into your story, to my story. The nights feel long, right? The season that you're in, the waiting that you're in, it feels long. The dawn is guaranteed because the light of the world has come and hope has come, and his name is Jesus. I pray that you will be able to hold on to him, to rest in him, to trust in him, and to let hope rise in your heart, even in painful times, even in times of waiting, that you will choose to receive hope, the hope given through Christ's birth and Christ's life. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, light of the world, thank you for stepping into our darkness with hope that never fades. Thank you for the promises that steady us, the light that guides us, the strength you give while we wait. Shine in every hidden place in our hearts, Lord God. Heal what is broken, lift what is heavy, restore what has been lost. Help us believe that we will see your goodness. Lord God, make us a people of great hope. People who are anchored, courageous, and full of your peace. We ask this in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen.